spirit of antagonism. Are you guys with me? Antagonism, to where you got to be careful, because it kind of says it's corrupt, everything's messed up, everything's broken, it's not going to get any better, nothing I say will make a difference. It's simply not true. God's calling us to respond. How many have felt, and I know that I've experienced this, and it's a bit rhetorical, but at the same time, how many have felt that antagonism in the era we live in, the unbelief, to where there's kind of this thing where you think about, you know, what can I do? How can I help? If I say something, nobody wants to hear it. And responding to the age, the question really isn't, you know, what is my response to the age? Because I don't care what era we live in. God responds to every age, and He uses you and He uses me. Now, I know that I'm salt and I'm light. I know that my response is coming from God. So I'm sitting in the world and people ask, should I respond? And there's a couple things I want to make a note of. How did your forefathers respond in all the eras past? And you should respond as well. When John the Baptist was rebuking, and I mean, there's a million kinds of responses, but there was John the Baptist responding to the era that Jesus was going to arrive in the flesh. And he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's actually a good word today. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And John responds to Herod because he had taken his brother's wife and he had been reproving the king. He could have said, he's the king, I might lose my head over this, who cares? He's not going to change, she's not going to change. But the issue of our response to the generation we live in has never really been about whether somebody's listening, because always somebody's going to be listening. But God asks you to respond to the era, and the real question is God responding? Because that's our answer. If God's responding, He's using you, He's using me. But sometimes you have to convince Christians. I've seen this. You have to convince believers that God desires them to respond. Seriously. If you're in your job place and you feel the Lord would not have you to respond to direct challenges to you. How many have been in job sites? And because, I mean, a lot of us, we go out and we work. You guys work. You're at sites. You deal with the morals of the people you deal with. Does God have a response? I've seen people without saying a word, they no longer believe they were called to respond. I talked to a guy that said, you know what? I don't witness no more. He said, I just live my life. And obviously my heart sunk because I said, well, that's dandy. And he says, I just let my life speak to people. That's wrong. In fact, I knew somebody that had worked with him and they said, we would have had no idea he was a believer in Jesus. They said, he's moral, he's a nice guy, but he never says anything. He had become convinced because he read some book or some seminar that told him, you don't need to talk your faith, live your faith. And while it's true that you need to live your faith, you need to talk your faith. Sometimes we're in our jobs and we're in our lives going through daily life and we're debating a response that sometimes is in the scripture. We're debating, are we even called to respond, and what can my voice matter? But you've got to understand, through the annals of church history, are you with me, guys? I know you're with me, Barbara. Through the annals of church history, one man would stand, one woman would stand. There's Deborah's, there's Ezekiel's, there's Jeremiah's, there's John the Baptist. Through every era, God has a response to this earth. God has a response in our days. God is using us to respond. Do you realize when lies come at you, they cry for a response of truth? They cry out. They cry out. They don't cry for diplomacy. God is not a diplomat. He's the creator of the universe. Jesus isn't a nice guy. He's the Word become flesh. He's the Savior of the world. And God's heart cries out. And I want to give you a little assignment. You might be in a situation where you haven't responded in a dog's age. I want you to bow down to your heart to the Father and say, Father, what are you responding to the situation? Or maybe you respond with lightheartedness. Maybe you respond with anger. Maybe, who knows? I could just list a whole bunch of things and start saying, Father, you've got a response, and I need to know what you're saying. And it'll floor you that sometimes God will hit your heart and it'll blow your mind because the Father is responding. When I think about amazing men of God, and we were all at the Reinhard Bonnke Crusade in Chicago. Well, not all of us, but I mean, we were there. Some of you guys were there. Neither here nor there. But God, he believes, is responding to the nation of America. He believes God wants to pour out revival. He wants to be part of that response. He wants people to join him in a response of God to the nation, of God pouring out his Spirit. Many times we're watching through people, through ministers, through our brothers and sisters, we're watching God actually respond. Now, the only dilemma when I talk about response is obviously sometimes there's antagonism. Sometimes there's a sin of unbelief where people believe that one man doesn't make a difference, where they believe that their opinion would be greatly hated if they said it. Sometimes we quit before we get out of the gate. The devil loves that. He loves when you go silent. When that Christian guy said, I will no longer witness, I'll just live my life, the devil was just saying, praise the Lord, brother, do that. Keep doing it. And as he was silent, souls were dying and burning. As he was silent, men were crossing his path that did not know Jesus. Other men were crossing his path that needed fellowship on the job site, that felt the pressure. Maybe there was pornography in the locker room, and they felt alone. But he didn't speak, so God's response could neither be to his brothers or to those needing Jesus. It's always a lie to believe that God doesn't have a response. And then we face the fact of antagonism and unbelief, and sometimes we face the problem that we see ourselves, and we start measuring ourselves of how significant we think we are, and then we start weighing all, like, what can God do through me? And we cop out. There's a time in my life, and I think you've all hit these points, to where you do become dull and numb. In fact, do you realize that even the convictions, that the things you should be blushing at, Christians are not blushing at ridiculous things, things that are perverted, things that are wicked, things that are unclean. And saints are so dull, their senses have been so callous that they're not even feeling God's response. They themselves aren't responding. We are his hands and his feet. God has you to respond to the situations you're in. He has you to respond to the challenges you're in. But I want to say this. The Father has responded to every generation since the beginning of time, starting with Adam and Eve, continuing 2015 right now. God has an outcry he wants to put in your heart. You may be there. You may not. You may be antagonistic. You might not think that. But if you say, Father, burn in me your response to this generation, you may be a wild man or a wild woman. You may find yourself outside of your comfort zones, doing things you thought you never could do. Because also, when it comes to God's response to the generation, it's really critical. I feel bad. I see sometimes prolific preachers responding to the challenges of iniquity, whether it's the gay issue, whether it's the pot issue. You just can name the issue. Sometimes they respond because truth is our response. There isn't another response. And every response God has to the generation in any generation will be dipped and coated in truth. I had a friend that says, many like to minister within the sound of church bells. But he said, I want to minister 3 feet from the gates of hell. John 1, 9 through 14 speaks of God's response in this particular era and summation. He says, there was the true light which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace, full of truth. God responds to a dying world and he sends his Son, and the Word becomes flesh. And the Son gives the ability for me and you to be sons and daughters of God. The Word became flesh. And I've often said this. There's a lesson as to the context of my life. What is the context? Am I just a mere mortal man? Am I a human being that has no power? What is the context? Am I a diplomat? Am I a poet? Do I just exist? But here's something I want to put under the foundation. We Christians are sons and daughters of the living God. And one thing we definitely will respond through the context of my existence, Josh, is that of a son of God. So as the generation calls for my response, it's going to call for my response, and I'm adopted. I've been brought into the family of God by the blood of Jesus. So as Jesus walked this earth, now he has made me an adopted son of God, and the context that I respond cannot be different than the Son of God responding to any generation. This is why it talks about he gave the ability to become sons of God, as daughters of God, full of grace, full of the mercy of God, but at the same exact time, full of truth. My response is as a son of God, and my response is full. It's to be full of grace and full of truth. One does not live without the other. Many times people, their response to a dying society is that God is a better way, which is not necessarily true. Yes, he can be a better way. But for the Father, we are dying. When a man is dying and you offer him life, you've offered him a different way. You're not improving his life. You're transforming his life. Jesus is responding through his people. You are sons and daughters of God in the current world we live in. And you are responding in the context that Barbara's a daughter of God. Mike's, Pastor Mike is a son of God. Armand is a son of God. Josenia is a daughter of God. That's kind of the context we sit in. As Jesus was in this earth in many ways, so we were sent out. Born of heaven. In fact, we were born not of flesh and blood when we came to Jesus, but we are heaven sent. Even though we have an earthly mother and a father, but the seed that's put into us, it's heavenly. The spirit that is in us is heavenly. You know, there was that thing about what would Jesus do, WWJD, and I remembered, and I liked the thing. Somebody else said, I want to make a bracelet. What does Jesus think? And it wasn't just about a model of Jesus. Because as adopted sons and daughters of God, when I'm going to start responding to the earth I live in, should my response be something that Jesus would have never done? No. Should my response be something that would actually be conflictual with the life Jesus lived? And I'm talking about my response for God to this earth, to this generation. No. See, the thing that a Christian starts saying, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, and I need to respond, and God's going to use me to respond to the generation I live in, and he's going to use me in the context of being his child. And he's going to use me in a context that many times is going to remind people of Jesus. Now, one thing when I was in school, I remember the first semester, we did synoptic gospels, and they talked about that the Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. And that name, Little Christ, deals a lot with the context of the early church's response. When the people looked at these men that became believers in Yeshua, the response that they had to the world they lived in reminded the people of Christ himself. Now, this is deep, and some people, we right away go, I know this, that's silly. Of course I know that. I've said that many times with truths that were not deep in my heart, but were only in my head. The first response of the first church to the people that were watching was just like Jesus. It wasn't that they said they were of Jesus and their response was conflictionary with the person of Jesus, but their response to the generation they were in was like Jesus, to where they called them little Christ. This is not a cultural thing. It's not an ethnos thing. It is not a seasonal thing. But this context of responding to this generation, because Jesus is in you, through you, and he wants to respond to the world you live in power and full of grace and truth, calling out and crying out. Now, this is the problem. Sometimes we try to get a burden for the lost, or we want to pray for other believers, you know, pray for the sick. And in a way, we've got ourselves in this thinking that's kind of distant. We're just a Christian that knows Jesus trying to help, instead of crying out and say, Jesus, have your response through me. God, have your divine response through me, full of power, full of your ability. Begin to respond through me, Father. Many times I say, I'm trying to get a boldness. I need his heart. If you want to love the lost, have the heart of Jesus beating in your chest. Have the Father's outcry to this generation. If you want to deal with other Christians, you can only deal with them in a way that you as a son or a daughter of God would deal. And that's going to be consistent with Jesus. The generation doesn't need to find necessarily newfangled ways to be diplomats or to speak to a generation. We all live in a context of every generation that's come and gone. And how I speak today is going to be different than Evan Roberts spoke with the Welsh Revivals. It's going to be different because I'm not living in that era. But the truth and how the Son of God is the Son of God responding to this earth will be the same. Many times, it's very, very critical. And let's get a little personal here. I need to respond to Armand's, my good brother. I love him. Uncle's uncle. I love him. I'm going to respond, and I can only respond as a friend. And I mean, he's responding as Jesus would to me. I'm responding as Jesus would to him. And even in our interpersonal relationships, respond to one another as Jesus would respond. The thing is, many times we're eclectic and we're kind of saying, you know, we're responding as mere mortal men. We're responding as this. We're responding as that. When, you know, it's funny, when Jesus talks about loving our wives as Christ loved the church, you know, we're in a lot of ways, we couples, we respond to each other. And let that be how the Son of God. If I'm responding in a way to my wife that's inconsistent with how the Son of God would respond, then I need to respond differently. I need to vary that. Might we be the breath of God to each other? Might we be the truth of God to each other? Might we sometimes be the rebuke of God to each other? Might we be sometimes the correction of God to each other? Our lives are crying out for response. Our situations are calling for response. In fact, you've got to ask yourself a question, no matter what situation you're in. It can be good, it can be bad, it can be other. And you just got to look at all the response you're having and saying, is this at all reflecting the Son of God? Would he say nothing here? Would he oppose it? Would he bless something that's filthy? What would he do? It's not so much, because again, many times we talk about a response and we've got these polite manners and I'm all for proper etiquette. But I want to know what the Son of God's responding to a situation. What's he crying out? What's he saying? We need this. Because as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. He wants the word becoming flesh. So the context of our response is that of sons and daughters of God. That's it. The Son of God is crying out in this era. Even when the gay marriage issue came up, the Son of God is crying out to this era as only the Son of God can and will. If I'm responding in a way the Son of God would never respond, then I don't have a Christian response to the generation, but I have another response. And this is the bottom line. Ambassadors for Christ. So the context I sit in is as a Son of God. Then I want to read 2 Corinthians 2:15. There's another issue when we respond to the situation, because Jesus is in us responding to each other. He's in us responding to the world we live in. He's in us responding to the trials we go through. He's in us responding. And let me tell you something. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, when I get into situations, especially ones that are more emotionally tough, sometimes finding the response of God is been fighting something that I'm not behaving in, seriously. Sometimes in the hard times, God's had to come in and I've had to repent because my response has been anything but Jesus. That's okay. See, it's all right to repent. It's all right to change. As we're in this world, in this context of children of God responding to the generation, 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life." And who is adequate for these things? Now, I want to bring something into here. How many of you have walked into a place that stinks? And the minute you come in, it fills your nose. And it literally affects your being. I've smelled things in my life that sometimes I'm like, oh, that's going to take me a year to get that out of my head. And you smell it. And it really, you kind of go, oh my gosh, what is that? It just affects your being. I remember passing this house on the corner when I lived in Dartmouth. And one day I was walking in the summer and it was hot. It was 90 degrees out. And just a whiff hit me. And I went, whoa, I said, that smells like a decomposing body. But then the wind blew, and I'm like, okay, where was that? It actually turned out the guy had died 3 weeks previous in the house, and it was 90 degrees, so there was a crew over there with suits on, hazmat suits. But in our response, sometimes the aroma that I smell to some sinners, they smell death. Sometimes a sinner smells death to death. They have nothing to do with Jesus, and they smell death. There is not a stench about we Christians, but the aroma of Christ to some is a salvation, and they're thrilled, and the aroma to others is they can't handle it. I love how we've kind of said, I'm going to study the way I respond by the reaction of the respondents. When actually in truth, I'm an aroma of life to some and death to others. When people smell death, they go, oh man, I don't want to smell that no more. And many times our response to society has been, I love the guy that sends out flyers to people that don't know Jesus. It says, what do you want to see in a church? And they formed a church to be what the flyer said. It's ridiculous. Because children of God are children of God. Children in the world are children in the world. And that's the other thing. God is not fashioning a response that fits what people like or what people hate necessarily. He is fashioning his response, which comes from his being. God's response is our response. We respond. But remember, people are reacting to our response sometimes through the aroma of Christ. And that's a mixed bag. I had somebody tell me, we talked about the scripture and the need to be born again, and they told me, you creep me out. I had one guy that was high, and actually when witnessing to him, he came totally down. He says, I'm straight, I don't know how you did it. What is wrong with you? So there was that response that my response had given, and it was that aroma of Christ that reminded this guy that he needs to know Jesus. Now, I didn't go away and said, Lord, do something else because, number one, you wrecked his high. That's bad. I've had people tell me, we talked about, you know, you're going to face God one day. He's going to want to know what you did with his son, Jesus. And I've had him say, you wrecked my entire night. You bummed me out. How dare you? I feel judged. And yet I knew in the response that I gave that it was the aroma of Christ, and I knew that response didn't curb it. And I go back to God and say, I want a different response, Father, because when people are really angry and they don't want to hear about Jesus, and you put me in that situation where you want me to respond and they blow up and they freak out. It's another thing. We answer in the context of sons and daughters of God. We answer through the aroma of Christ in our response. We are responding to a dying world. Some want to live, some want to die. Some don't want to hear the truth, some want to hear it. Some want to be free. Some don't want the light to expose their darkness. They'd rather be in the dark. And that's nothing I can do, because as I have the response of God to the world I live in, you know, especially when I saw this era. And it's interesting because everybody's demanding, when they did the marriage thing, they're demanding a particular response. And they're saying, if you respond this way, it's all good. But if you respond this way, we're going to call you a bigot. But all of that social caste, God really, it's not, God actually cares about people. He doesn't always care about where they're coming from. Seriously. God cares for people because they're dying, because they need Jesus. The Lord is not always tailoring. In fact, he's never tailoring what he does to be more appealing or less appealing, because God is eternal. Truth is eternal. We are responding to a dying world, but sometimes it's the stench of death. Sometimes the aroma of Jesus is a pleasant thing. I've seen people saved, gloriously changed. I've seen others not. What did Jesus say in 8:31? And I'm just going to rifle. He said, Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. And he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's amazing. But one thing about, as Christians, our response will be the truth. Now, that's a varied issue. Are you ready to respond for God? Now, listen to me, guys. Are you ready to respond for God? But do you understand and are you anchored that the only thing you can respond with is truth? The world demands a response many times because it itself is giving its own response. The spirit of the age is responding and it's demanding. Do you understand the narrow-mindedness that this agenda of sin has in the world? Not only are they responding, but they're demanding an allegiance. Do you know many times when someone demands your allegiance, in a sense, it is God demanding that you respond. If somebody says, Armand, I'm just curious, what do you think about this whole Supreme Court thing? Right there, because you're a son of God, the response really is being called for. You're being asked what you think. Am I telling you to scream? I would think not. Am I telling you to cuss? I would hope not. But it's funny because the truth is the truth. And my question within here, and not just that, in fact, why does that get a special place of our response and we're more cautious than others? Here's another thing to understand. I was talking to a girl. She was doing an eye examination at an optometrist, and she found out I was a minister. And I sometimes don't like that because I'm just Mike, a Christian. Seriously, before, I'm just a believer in Christ. The fact that I'm a pastor, okay. Because often people go, oh, he's a minister. And I'm like, oh, come on, let's just talk, okay? And she was getting kind of irritated. She said, well, don't you think that, I mean, the Bible is antiquated? I mean, it's God has to change with the eras, she said. I mean, obviously what he said back then is not relative. So I gave her a concept. And I wanted to enlighten her because I could see that she'd had a Christian background, but I could also see she was no way walking with the Lord at the moment. And I said, listen, God is eternal. It says without beginning of days. So he's always been. I said, the word of God is also eternal because it's the logic of God, the thought of God, and God's thoughts for us to grasp. But truth isn't antiquated because I said truth is eternal in its nature because God's eternal. God's always represented truth, therefore truth's always been, always will be, because God had no beginning. When we speak the truth, the scripture, we're not speaking in an antiquated form. Now, the fact that people concentrate like the Bible was written thousands of years ago, it many times misses a far more important theological point. Truth is eternal, not antiquated. So if God says, Leviticus 18:22, for a man to lie with a man as he does it a woman is an abomination to the Lord. When Corinthians says, neither effeminate nor drunkards nor whoremongers nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God, your response that you've been given is eternal in its nature. Now, you can say the truth with a smile and compassion and love. In fact, I tell people, if you're going to talk to people about repentance, definitely have the love of God in you. Have the mercy of God in you. But don't confuse the mercy with downgrading the term. What amazes me about this era in the Christian, and I'm speaking of the church, its response is funny because we're in an era where people say, I know better. And I could just say it's wrong or God's not with that, but I'm going to say something else. But the problem is truth is eternal and it goes through all generations. It's not antiquated. It's not old. It's not yesteryear Well, when I gave the girl this, I was kind of proud of myself because I thought God spoke through me, and she now understands that God's not antiquated because she realized historically this is an old book, but she missed the point that the truth in it is without age and will always be. Therefore, she was seeing God in an aged kind of, God himself was antiquated, but he's old. And then I told her, but God's eternal. He's ancient when you put a time measurement, but he's outside time and space, meaning God has always been. So how does the being, and he never alters. Do you know God's never aged? And I thought she'd be really thrilled. Oh, she went off. She went off because her response to me was a response, and she was giving me a logic, and she was trying to explain to me, and her response fit her little diagram to her, as she does not have to live by the Bible because the Bible is antiquated and it doesn't even relate to the modern day we live in, and she was into all kinds of sin. But when I spoke in God's response to her, that he has always been, that truth is eternal, not antiquated, that right is right and wrong is wrong, and that never changes. Oh, she exploded because I just wrecked the logic. Do you understand something? That the Spirit of God is in this earth convicting men and women? And do you realize that sometimes you're coming up to somebody that has had God respond to them multiple times and they're fed up with the response of God? We're not many times telling people the response of God for the first time in their life. I've ran into people that said, I'm sick of hearing this. You're the seventh person that's witnessed to me, and I'm tired of it. I don't want Jesus. I'm tired of it. The only thing that's going to save this generation is truth. The only response that'll free a man is truth. The only response that I can respond to you guys with, you're my brothers and my sisters, we live in truth, and we're of the Lord, and he saved us. And the only response that's going to work is the one that's always worked through the era. See, wickedness, I know to us we go, oh, the world's so bad now. If you read in ancient Greece and Rome, you want to talk about some really bad societies? In fact, iniquity is just recycled. They've had gay communities. You had Sodom and Gomorrah. You had people with six wives. Kings had hundreds of wives. There's no new iniquity under the sun. There's just another generation that takes up that ancient iniquity. Now I want to ask you something, and I want to give you a little test today. God's response is truth. God, you are Jesus to the people you're talking to. And as my father once so eloquently put it, Christians are the only Bible I'll ever read. That's it. Isn't it odd that a man who has never accepted Christ understood enough that we Christians represent God, whether we represent God poorly or represent God in a good way? My father understood that. He's not a religious man. It's interesting. Ask yourself a question, not just what would Jesus do, but when you're in situations, say, how does Jesus want to respond to me? How? You know, there's a variable that I tell Christians all the time. That, you know, we get into situations, and I have seen the Lord. Sometimes I'm wondering, what do I do? What do I do? How do I respond, Father? There is times where I've had people argue with me, and they try to bait a second argument. I'm not going there again. In fact, they already know what I think. I've actually had a person say, so let me, you told me something the other day, and I could see they were contentious. They wanted to fight. I said, I'm not having the same fight today I had with you last week. What do you mean? I said, because you're wanting to fight and you already know my views. Why are you asking me to restate what we've talked about? In fact, it's one person in my family that we've been talking about for a decade and a half. God's response there, don't get into a fight, don't be baited. So I responded as God would respond, and a fight didn't break out. I wasn't a diplomat. I wasn't denying the truth. I had already spoken the truth. But there's a few things today, and I like I said, this is not super long. God has sent us into the world, and we're called to respond to the generation. Here's the other part. Why are we careful about certain sins? And I think you know where I'm going with this. Why, like if somebody comes, Armand, and comes to you and says, I'm cheating on my wife, I have three mistresses, and I'm good with it. You would tell them, you know, what does God think? They would ask you. You'd right away say, that's a sin. He says it's a sin. It's wrong. Adultery is wrong. And you need to quit cheating on your wife. You would, without hesitation, probably speak the truth, especially if he asked you for your response. But then if somebody comes to you and says, oh, I'm going to marry my partner, my same-sex partner, give me a response. And it's interesting because on that one, sometimes, he's not like this. But it's interesting because then we're getting poetic and diplomatic and we're watching our P's and our Q's. One thing I used to tell when we witnessed in Broadway and Belmont, which was Gay Town, it was Rainbow District, was this. Homosexuality doesn't get a special place. It's sin, like whoremonging, like fornicators, like drunkards. I won't speak lighter to it. I won't speak heavier to it. It'll send you to hell with all other sin. But it is sin. It is an abomination. So is being a whoremonger. And it's interesting because, again, we wax poetic in this society. In fact, the church has denied its response in many ways on certain things and are heavy on other things. Sometimes, in fact, even in God's emphasis, his response is harder than ours. What happens if you, being a son and daughter of God, respond to the world you live in with any issue, and someone finally gets it right later and says, you were never really willing to say what God said about this. I talked to you. You were poetic. You were diplomat. It was real gray. I didn't know where you're coming from. But I started reading my Bible, and I'm a little surprised at how you dealt with this or that, not just one issue. See, sometimes the response of God, well, it's here. And any response I give to this world that I live in is going to have to be consistent with this. It's going to have to carry the weight that this carries in it. It's going to have to speak the truth that this speaks to it. Here, almost in thinking, is our response. We have to be careful that the culture doesn't mold the response we give. Now, I hear a lot of people say, well, I would never do that. But I have seen Christians again and again, they allow the culture to actually tailor-make the response they give. But God's eternal and truth has always been. So I'm wondering many times as the culture and even its hostilities shapes the response. Do you understand when you see people holding a banner at the parade and they say, we're so proud of you? Do you understand that when you see them holding that sign at the Pride Parade, did you understand that that didn't happen overnight? That response, they were being shaped. And the culture was shaping the church's response. And through time and time again, and many times, because here's the other thing. If the scripture responds clearly to the age I live in, and if the scripture makes plain sense in its response to the world we live in, why would I make any other sense of the response I'm giving? See, the church, for years, has been getting shaped by the culture, unless it's mindful that it's being shaped by the culture. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I don't get it. This person is there. They do this and they're allowing this and the Bible says this. In every church, whether it's me as a pastor or wherever you go, I can tell you as a pastor, you get situations that demand a response. As a pastor, you do. They'll never go away. But what happens through the years is sin will always come. In fact, here's the thing I want you to understand. As I talk to you about the response of God, sons of God, with the truth, with the scripture, here's something you really need to understand today. You've got to ask yourself, whatever you face, the things that demand a response, if I'm silent on them, I grow colder. Seriously. Now, this doesn't mean you should have a sign tomorrow. I don't want to see you out on Chicago Road. That's not what I'm getting at. But the personal challenges that come to you that ask for your response, when you fail to respond, you get a little colder each time you fail. Every time you're asked and you kind of go out of the room because you know what you're about to say, you know what you're assuming. Because sometimes we go, if I say that, they'll go crazy. I've actually seen people speak God's response to rooms that seem hostile, and I've seen the power of God save people. And you started going, you know, I thought I had that all figured out, and I thought that guy would blow up, and he got saved. So sometimes when it comes to God's response and us to the world we live in, we've already figured out the outcome, and we're wrong. Sometimes we've said, you know what, they're mad. And if I say this, I know they're going to get more mad. Sometimes not. There are things that are calling for our response today. My personal life, I've got issues that will always come up, and I will have a response. You know what I like, though? I like if you get known enough and your principles known, and somebody will say, don't ask him, I know exactly what he's going to say. That makes me feel good, and I'm going to tell you why. That means I'm consistent, meaning they're not going, you know, that's sin, but I wonder where he'll come in on that. But here's the reality, too. In the body of Christ in America, do you know stuff that the Bible calls an absolute abomination? Many times a person can just go down the block to a Christian church and get a completely different response, not even consistent with Scripture. I've actually had people say, well, you said that, but you know that church down the road? You know what they told me? I've actually heard this. Well, I said they're wrong. And any other church that would tell you that is absolutely wrong, because the Scripture is actually, in fact, I've said it's a really clear issue in Scripture. What you bring in isn't like tricky. There are things that can be a little more complex. The church's response to the world really shows sinners specifically too, and believers, God's response or lack of. Now, I say this in an era because I'm kind of wondering, because when this thing in the Supreme Court went through, everybody act like it was a new thing, the sin, and it wasn't. When, I mean, they're killing 4,000 unborn children a day, a million a year. I mean, killing kids. And I understand the gruesomeness of Planned Parenthood, but they've been killing children every day. Do you realize that the world you live in wishes to numb your ability to respond? It's either going to numb it, or it's going to give you antagonism where you don't believe your response helps anything. You know, it's interesting. When Uncle put a sign out and said, need prayer, he responded to God's call. I don't care if one or a half dozen have called him, or 1,000. Because his job is to respond to the Father in obedience. God will grow the results. God will work in time. It takes time. So many men who have stepped out, and women, and they have said, you know what, God's dealing with my heart, I'm going to do this. And they do it. I know you're going to the picnic, am I correct?
Yep.
All right, God bless, guys. In closing, might we respond with truth, mercy, full of grace and truth. I love that balance, guys, grace and truth. You know, my deceased brother, Ron, a lot of you know him. Uncle, you never got to meet Ron. Ron, he talked with a lot of mercy. Ron could tell you, you're ugly, your kids are ugly, you're in sin, and you need to repent. And somehow you would thank him. He had a real, I mean, he really could. I'm not kidding. He was a very soft-spoken guy. Oh, he told truth. Trust me, Ron was not a diplomat, not in issues I watched him respond to. And again, it comes back to the grace and mercy, because yes, I've seen people screaming at people. I've seen this guy, he uses a megaphone, and he calls it witnessing. I'm not sure what he's doing. But in fact, he responds. This is what's interesting. He says he's responding as an integral Christian, but he's responding as a son of God, actually from the Scripture point. So is his response consistent with Jesus or inconsistent? Don't tell me I'm in a perverse world. I know that. Don't tell me, and I'm responding like an integral. And, I mean, it's interesting, because I watched him outside this one nightclub saying, you filthy, rotten sinners going in there. And I'm thinking, they're going into sin. Preach Jesus. Preach the cross. I watched him for 13 minutes, and I never heard a word about the cross. And I thought, how confusing is this? Because I don't mind if you get a pickup truck and stand at Studio 54 and call out, you know what I mean, for people to come to Jesus, but do that. People said, man, you're a little harsh. And he said, well, you don't like truth. Well, no, but his response would have to mirror the Son of God. And I think that's what happens. Now, as I close, and it's not a real deep subject, but it's deep in its implication. You're a believer. I'm a believer. My life's called for many responses. I'll be honest with you. Do you guys turn off sometimes? I do, like, oh, I can't. Not today. I'm going to have a godly response, but you know, at this very moment, I'm really busy. Sometimes we get antagonistic, and I go, it's no use responding to them. They're not going to listen. And again, in our response, our obedience is to God. I don't care what the guy or girl looks like. They look interested, disinterested. You know, when we went out to the mission, and a lot of you veteran guys, uncle, you guys are familiar with Pacific Garden, and I call it end of the rotors. People are sitting in that sanctuary. When they come in, I pick up three very strong scents. One is alcohol, another one is body odor. Actually, no, only two scents, alcohol, body odor. But I said to myself, and I was talking to Pastor Jay, would Jesus be right at that place? Now people go, yeah, but some get saved, they're not sincere, and others blah, 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 and you make up all these things and thinking. But my thing is, what is your response, God? If three souls got saved, was it worth driving 130 miles? Obviously, yes. I was telling Pastor Jay, and he's in agreement. I said, I call these end of the roaders. They're dead enders. A lot of these guys that came into that room, some will be found under a viaduct frozen to death this winter. Absolutely. They're right at that place. They've hit every wall. They've broken through every moral models, guys, you know, addiction, psychological problems. And I look at Michael Herbert, and I do love him because he does this all every week, and he's at the prisons, and he's got God's response. Mike knows God's response and what God's asked him to respond to, where he's asked him to go. He's obedient. So as we stand and pray today, might our response be a real one? Do you know God's sending you people, and they're demanding a response from you? Seriously. I want you to ask the Lord as we pray, Lord, and don't be afraid of a response. Don't be afraid, and don't assume you know men's hearts, meaning don't look at somebody and go, they don't want to hear nothing, especially when they're asking for a response. Answer. Respond. Let God respond through you. Ask God's heart. Sons and daughters of God in this room, and can I tell you something? What God's called you to effect and start, the revolutions, you have no idea. You have no idea. Sometimes I have no idea how beautiful it is, how amazing God is. But sometimes I tune out. I don't know about you guys. Do you guys get that? I get busy. I get tired. I tune out a little bit. And then a little antagonism hits me. And I get, you know, we got to be careful because unbelief is so dangerous. Father, as we close today, we want to have the response of your response to this generation. Lord, I think when somebody offers prayer from their house is in part of their ministry, and I think many times you're responding. In fact, I've had a vision about neighborhoods for years. So when I see people willing to start a revolution in their home, and they can be ministers and they can be involved in churches outside of that home. But the reality, when we are priesthood and we take it seriously and we start to respond to you, Father, I want to respond to you. We're in an era where the church has, in many ways, sometimes it's just said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to respond to that. We're not going to respond to this. And it gets muddy. It lacks clarity. Father, here's the beautiful thing, whether it is me, Pastor Jay, any of us, Uncle, Armand, I could name everybody in the sanctuary. Barbara, you want to respond to things through us. There are people that do need our help. Sometimes, Lord, you want us to hold the hand with someone, and you do want us to pray, and you want us to mourn with them. Sometimes you want us to speak something that can be, it'll be a little hard. Truth sometimes is not always easy. But might we have a confidence in our response today? Lord, I'm in a dying world that doesn't seem to be getting better. But Father, every time I pray that even in my life, you've spoke to me. And when I've been like, they don't want to change, you've said very clearly, Mike, how did you get saved? When did you listen? Were you not looking scary and horrible to deal with? And yet somebody, the response of God was in them and they talked to you. And they didn't act according to what they thought they saw in you. They act because they were responding for God. They were responding for Christ. I just pray as we go today, let us know there's power in the blood. There is power in our lives, that you have given us everything pertaining to life and to godliness. Father, that we would go out into the fields. And Lord, here's an important part. Lord, I can respond as an irritated person. I can respond as Jesus to those whom I love. Father, you know what? I think it's really important that we keep walking, and when we have a bump, we repent and we keep moving forward. Help us with our response. Lord, the world right now, to me, with a lot of the agendas, it's not just one thing. I believe it's crying out for the response of God. Father, for you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. I think of the many biblical responses to the age we live in. Might we be speaking them? Might we be in situations that are crying out for that? Might we have your response? I pray today as we close, your heart in us. And what I mean, Father, is sometimes I've said, you know, give me a greater burden. And then you've put your heart in me regarding an issue. And it wasn't a little bit of an increase with a burden. I could do nothing but. So help us to understand how this divine seating works in our lives and our hearts. Lord, I pray today as we dismiss, if ever there's a world we live in where I think response is critical, now is the time. You offer hope. You offer salvation. You offer freedom from these fetters that hold people. Even as last night, in my section, I preached on he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. But if you're in sin, you're a slave to sin. And just those truths, you were responding to those men that had come in that hall. So I'm grateful, Father. And simply ask, even as we dismiss, I pray faith would increase. We do. We rebuke antagonism because there's a lot of antagonism in our society. I know that I can be antagonistic if I walk in the flesh. Father, that cannot guide our response, and that cannot dictate the pace by which we minister. Might we be responding from the heavens, because heaven's in us responding to a dying earth. Bless us this day as we go, Father. I want to thank you, and I want to praise you for the salvations yesterday, and we ask your continued touch. And I pray, Lord, because there are people standing here that you're calling to speak to nations. And they say, I'm just me. And they don't understand that every move of God, every revival, there's one person that gets a vision and you give them a response. And Father, let our response to you be what Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Let our response to you be yes. You'll take care of the rest. You'll work out the details. But I pray your blessing this morning as we go in Jesus' mighty name. God bless everyone. Love you guys. Thank you.